The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Just another edition of We the People Radio. We know you're tuning in to hear the latest and greatest that you'll never hear in the mainstream news. You are joining Aaron Ryan and Elizabeth Woodward and Bob Martin, our master of music, We the People Radio. We want to hear from you, 530-605-4567. We want you to jump on the chat room. It is alive and well at wethepeopleradio.us, and everything about today's guests will also be on the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. Don't forget, we've had almost 2 years worth of shows every single week, and there's a separate link to each one of those archive shows that you can send out far and wide. Hey, so...
Not 2 years of shows every week.
No.
Some weeks it feels like.
Just put your little English major back in your pocket.
Judging by the number of people calling in today, we might have 2 years worth of show today.
Yeah. Hey, so...
Okay. I had to come back for. Okay, I had to go over and back to Crescent City, right?
Yeah,
for the sheriff's event yesterday, which was awesome. And there were
how many people?
Like 250
nice.
People.
Nice. That was worth going just for the cool weather.
I was going to say it was 63 degrees. And well, I was already there earlier in the week. I was there for 3 days, so I came home, unpacked my stuff, got in my own vehicle, drove over there.
Said you've been wearing those pants all week.
Yeah, I have. And the patch on the knee from where I fell down last week came off. Yes, I fell down. Haven't done that.
Does workman's comp need to know about this?
No. Okay. I was in Bill's truck, and he doesn't have like a step bar on the side, so I went to get out, and there was gravel on the side.
It's like going to sit down, and there's no chair behind you.
It pretty much looked like there was a rope tied to my ankles, and I got jerked out of the truck. It was pretty funny.
God, I wish I could have seen that. I was on a merry-go-round this week.
We were laughing so hard.
No, literally. I was on a merry-go-round.
You were? I love that.
My sister-in-law and nieces and various assorted young women and older women, we all hit the Arden Fair Mall in Sacramento on Tuesday. And my 11-year-old niece really wanted to go on the merry-go-round.
I love merry-go-rounds.
But not by herself. So I sat on a giraffe, and I think my sister-in-law sat on a giant bunny rabbit. And don't remember what my niece was on, but the three of us in the mall on a Tuesday morning with nobody around. And no pictures to prove it.
If you're going to ride a bunny rabbit, you should do that.
So, you know, clearly...
So I'm coming home last night, right? So it's 1:30, so I dropped Liz off in Wairika, and I've got another hour and a half to go, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do if you're really, really... If you're tired and you've got a ways to go?
You get on the phone.
No.
No, and you turn the radio on and start singing along.
No. Better. Ooh, it's kind of a combo there. No, you get on Sirius Radio, you go to channel 127, it's called Left, and you listen to Joe Biden's full speech to the NAACP.
But I heard nobody was there.
Yeah, but listening to the whole speech, it's like, I wasn't sleepy anymore.
Ugh. Yeah. Were you laughing and cracking up?
I was like fake in the audience, and catcalling him.
Yeah.
No, that's a lie. Yeah. Anyway, it was something. So it's a neat trick if you need it.
Clearly, since we all got here about 3 minutes before we went on the air, I can't believe we can slide into our seats, hook up our laptops, and be on time. It's amazing. You can tell we've been doing this for a little while now.
On time is
relative. Something I wanted to chat about real quickly. Yes. As we approach election season, we know that this is the make or break election. I don't think that's a big secret to anybody.
Yes, ma'am.
And clearly the current administration is going after, religion. I mean, they're targeting the Catholic Church right now. But I just want some folks out there that are listening to know that... there is a program called Champion the Vote. Just Google that, Champion the Vote. And this is a website that gives you everything, a complete package, everything you need to approach the pastor in your church and set up voter registration drives. And here's some stats for you folks. There are 60 million committed Christians in the United States. 30 million of them do not vote or are not registered. Now, when I heard that number... I had to pull my chin up off the floor. I can't believe, with as much as they have to lose, that many Christians would not be voting or even be registered. So it's critical that we get the churches on board And the way to do that is to go to Champion the Vote. Everything you need. I mean, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to think about it. You print out the packages. There are videos. I mean, the whole package is
And all the
complete.
Statistics and stuff are there?
Everything.
Because most people, when they hear that 50% aren't registered to vote, they're like, what?
Yeah, 30 million.
But, you know, doesn't that explain part of the problem?
It sure does.
Yeah.
Would you call that apathy?
Well, those are people who really make a difference, and yet they, you know, well, we're gonna let other people vote.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a newsflash for you. The other people aren't good at it.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, maybe I'm kind of jumping to conclusions here, but
go ahead.
I sometimes think that the church has kind of, you know, put their head in the sand and try to stay quiet in the corner so that they don't lose their tax-exempt status. Well, guess what? You'll lose it anyway, so you may as well fight for it.
Yeah.
So if you are a committed Christian or even a semi-committed Christian and you...
That's not the crazy kind. That's the kind that's dedicated. Because committed sounds a little bit,
it does.
You know.
Well, that's the wording in Champion the Vote. I will call them and tell them to change that to dedicated.
Maybe it's just what I've been doing lately.
I'll tell. Yeah, you were in a prison. So anyway, folks, go to Champion the Vote and take a look at the whole website, the package of information, everything that they give you, and start contacting the churches in your area, no matter where you live. And that is the beauty of this show is that we talk about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and our topics are pertinent no matter where you live in the United States. Right?
Bazinga.
Yeah. There, I've said it. I'm done.
And
I'm going to sit
impertinent.
Back and have my coffee now.
And occasionally impertinent.
I've done my part of the show. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that all stirred up inside you. You just had to get it out.
I had to get that out.
Exercise it.
I had to do that. Exercise my vocal cords.
So how are we doing, Bob? We've got a lot of action going on the phones.
We've got two people on the line already.
Nice.
Two guests.
Two of our guests?
Yes. We have Diane Amble and Sam.
Nice. Sam from last week. Okay, so for the folks that weren't paying attention last week and were doing something else other than listening to the radio, we talked about the Humane Society of the United States in unflattering terms.
And may I interject quickly?
I thought you were all done.
I'm not. I changed my mind. Just people understand that is not, we're not talking about the Humane Society in your local town like our Haven Humane Society. Not the same.
No, you should double check. If they're connected to the Humane Society of the United States, we are talking about
that. Because we don't want you to show up at your local dog shelter tomorrow morning with torches and pitchforks and that type of thing. So we're not talking about them.
No.
Okay, we want to give a shout out to Haven Humane Society because they adopted over 100 cats out this week on their cat.
There are 100 cats on the street?
No.
They didn't used to be there?
100 cats found homes.
Found homes.
So they're on the street. Because they don't.
Yes, but they are completely spayed, neutered, vaccinated.
Yeah. And don't they give them away free?
Are they friendlier?
30-day health insurance policy. Oh.
Are they friendlier than regular cats?
They are regular cats. You're not a cat person, are you?
What gave that away? What was your clue, your first clue? I just did that for Bill.
Anyway, shout out to Dr. Ray John for mm-hmm. that success for the second year in a row.
Yeah,
if you can get 100 people to get a cat,
that's apparently they line
up. That's like a miracle in my book.
It was 114 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Should have called Bill. Loves cats. I can hear him writhing in his chair.
Okay.
So
we got off track there, but not really.
We always get off track. Hey, how about this? Would we like to take a super early break, and then we will actually be ahead of schedule? Just one time. One time during the show,
we'll be
ahead of schedule. I want everyone to make a note.
We can do that. We can make an effort to stay ahead of schedule today, it's not going to be easy with all these, these people calling.
We're just going to enjoy it. But we do want to thank our advertisers because that's how we pay for the show. So KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. We'll be right back.
He never tells me that he's sick of this house. He never says, why don't you get off that couch? He don't cost me nothing when he wants to go out. I want you to love me like my dog.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
She comes out of the sun in a silk dress, running like a watercolor in the rain. Don't bother asking for explanation. She'll just tell you that she came.
That one's for you too, Bill. It's the year of the cat. We're back.
Did you already have that planned?
I did.
Wow. Synchronicity.
So we're talking about the Humane Society of the United States, and it is not what you think. So stay tuned. Stay tuned in. Don't go. Stay here till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and you know what? Jump on the website, wethepeopleradio.us, whether you do it during the program or not, if you're not a multitasker, do it later. But there is a very long article on there from last week. Did we didn't reprint it on this week. We left it on last week's show. It still says Humane HSUS. The article is entitled HSUS, The Mob and the Black Egg, and you really ought to read it. It is it's incredibly interesting. You anyway... You'd never learn that anywhere else, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
So, Diane?
Yes, good morning.
How the heck are you?
Oh, good, and thank you for having me again. Another party. Another
yeah, we feel like we feel like you only got halfway through the story last week.
Not even halfway, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked for, what, 4 hours that afternoon?
Yeah.
I learned
yeah.
some other stuff.
Yes. Well, I know a lot of people aren't aware of this, the connections to... for instance, organized crime and other very sordid organizations or groups that HSUS has. And that includes other groups, for instance, like Best Friends, Doris Day Animal League. These are sort of skeletons in the closet that are quickly laid aside. The media no longer does their job in exposing what's really going on. And it's quite serious because organizations like Best Friends, who admit that they were originally a satanic group, a satanic cult, they formed a legal church called the Process Church, and they became Best Friends, and they admitted that they were, whatever, that I'm not going to go see what they're doing in Utah anymore, but they was originally in California, one of the Louisiana and California, and supposedly they did operate it across the United States in supposedly trails of murders wherever they were. But these are all alleged. They haven't ever been able to pin them on them specifically. But now Best Friends has control of all the shelters in Los Angeles, all the county shelters, the 7 shelters, I believe it is, they control them now. And that's a mega-million-dollar operation. And the county just turned it over to them, just like, here you go. Take it. And again, the media's like, la, 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 la. We're saving puppies and kittens. I don't think so.
We're saving puppies and kittens.
No, I mean, it's really amazing how they can work their way up through the ranks and right into, you know, acceptable society. But that's what the mob's good at doing anyways. But, I mean, anybody can put in Best Friends and Process Church and find out a lot of information, pretty scary stuff, actually. But the association with the mob and HSUS goes really quite a ways back before Wayne Pacelli actually really took over the HSUS. As far back as in 92, when they were already doing the things here in California that got them have their charter revoked here, as we spoke about last week, they it's really amazing how they operate. But anyways, there were two main characters that got into the HSUS, which was Wayne Pacelli and David Wills, and they were actually roommates in college. And at that time, Wayne Pacelli was a member of Fund for Animals, which is a very radical organization. And they many times attacked bear hunters, by the way. I don't know if people are aware of that, but that organization has had it on for bear hunters for a long time. And Pacelli threatened hunters over and over and over. But he and this guy, David Wills, joined HSUS in 1994. And before you know it, they were accused of embezzling money from HSUS for one of the things for their Mexican wedding that they had. And what was interesting is that Wills married, these two, like, they basically married into the family. But Will's married the ex-wife of one of the guys, Pacheco, that funded founded PETA. He founded PETA with Ingrid Newkirk. So David Wills married that guy's ex-wife. Then Wayne Pacelli married Kristen Rosenberg, who also, her father works for Los Angeles, or used to work for Los Angeles Times. But he married her, and she was the secretary for the Ark Trust, which is a California nonprofit animal organization. Her name, the secretary is Kristen Rosenberg. He marries her. So basically, they married into these organizations. And so that they got their position within. So now you can see there's sort of like a triangle at that. And then after a certain point, Wayne was actually able to get control of Ark Trust. And then later, you know, they were able to get the Doris Day Animal League. And they just did this. This is again, it's a pattern of practice. This is what they call racketeering, where they keep doing something over and over and over. But even before Wayne Pacelli joined, De La Renee, he was an attorney for Giacalone, a really famous mobster.
I was going to say, isn't he a bad man?
Pardon
me? Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he a bad guy? I think his name's
super bad guy. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest underworld figures there are. And he had supposedly been involved, you know, accused of ordering or being involved in the murders of JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, and Jimmy Hoffa. So,
fairly impressive list if you're building a resume as a killer.
In the underground world.
They only kill the best.
Yeah, and so his attorney and he were convicted for conspiracy and tax evasion, and they both went to prison. And he's paroled. When he was paroled, you know, when you go out and parole, you sometimes have to, you know, you have to have work. Someone has to, a business, to say, yeah, he can come work for me or whatever. Well, guess who he got paroled to?
Humane Society?
Yeah. Isn't
get
that
out.
Interesting? I mean, right there is like, ding, the light bulb should go off in somebody's head.
How many mobsters get paroled and go to work for the Humane Society?
And again, you know, so they spoke up for him, so they wanted a brilliant mob attorney to work for them. That's interesting.
How handy.
But he still had his license to, he lost it in Michigan, but he still had his license in Maryland, which is interesting. But all of a sudden, you know, here we've got Pacelli and this David Wilson. They were both really vying to control the HSUS. But eventually David Wills was sort of tripped up and taken out, and most likely, gosh knows, who might have done that, could have been the person that took over the helm of HSUS, Wayne Pacelli, I would imagine.
Wow.
You know, because that's how it works. You know, one of them's got to take over. It can't be them both. But at the same time, we have something else that was going on at the Doris Day Animal League. And that was, at that time, no longer really headed by Doris Day, but her son, Terry Melcher. And then we have to go back in history. And he was back, by the way, a producer for Columbia Records. And some of his biggest clients included the Byrds, Paul Revere and the Raiders, David Cassidy, and the Beach Boys. And it was through the Beach Boys that I believe he was introduced to the process. And this is a really kind of a crazy whole thing, but I guess the thing, it was Dennis Wilson, one of the Beach Boys. He picked up some girls hitchhiking on the beach there in California, and took them home, which, you know, those are the days of love, you know, flowers and peace and whatever. People did that. Hitchhiking wasn't unusual and what have you. And he took them to their house, his house, and he came home like 2 hours later to find Manson standing in his driveway. And these girls were part of Manson's crew. And supposedly he was very, very frightened of Manson when he first met him. I mean, Manson, I guess, was a very intimidating person, scary just to meet him, I imagine, from what I've read. And he expressed his fear of Manson, and Manson actually, supposedly, this is the way the story goes, with interviews and what have you, that he got down and kissed Wilson's feet saying, "Oh man, I love you." And so he got into the inner circle of the Beach Boys, of Terry Melcher, et cetera. And he wanted Melcher to produce his music, and in fact, Melcher even supposedly paid for some of the music that was produced that Manson did. And so I guess they didn't really know what they're getting into, or maybe they did after a certain point, because it can't get much more satanic than Manson.
I can only imagine the kind of music. I think it's like the anti-music.
Yeah, and so when after a while, most likely from a lot of the things that I've read, there's lots of accounts of this. They began to get pretty frightened of Manson and wanted him outside of their circle. But he had already introduced them to so many people within their you know little society there, you know, in Hollywood. And eventually, as I had mentioned before, all of a sudden, we had the Manson murders, which occurred at Melcher's house, but he wasn't living there. His girlfriend at the time, by the way, was Candace Bergen. But they had moved away, and probably because he was so afraid, and he had sublet the house to Roman Polanski. Now, you know Roman Polanski's been on the news lately, right? You know about that, correct?
No, I'm sorry.
Roman Polanski had sex with a very young girl.
Ew.
And then when they wanted to, this was fairly recently, and when they wanted to arrest him for that, for, I guess, rape of a minor, he absconded to Europe. And they had been trying to extradite him now for years. Hmm. Not aware of that?
That was back in the 70s that happened.
Yes, but he left for a long time, and then this
has
come up
ago,
just
right?
recently.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know that. I thought you meant
I mean, these people just comes around. But anyway, so I believe that basically the murders that occurred were probably intended for Melcher and maybe Candace rather than Sharon Tate and Polanski. But who knows? They say that when they were some of the evidence during the Sharon Tate movies, murders, included pornographic and sadistic movies that were taken of famous guests, including Sharon Tate, you know, that they were doing, I guess, orgies and what have you. And even John Lennon and George Harrison mentioned staying and doing drugs at Melcher's house. There were all kinds of links with LSD. That was a big thing back then. But one of the people that were killed by Manson were the LaBiancas. And they were very connected to the mob, gambling in Las Vegas and what have you. And this guy, her husband, Leno LaBianca, he was very much in debt to a big mobster, Frankie Carpo, who, guess what? he was an associate of Frank Costello, who had been portrayed by Jack Nicholson in the movie The Departed. His apprentice in prison was Manson, because Manson spent a large part of his young life in prison. I don't know if people know that. And so there's this connection to the mob and Manson and these mobsters. Even without people don't realize that it wasn't just Manson and his group, but there was this big mob connection. And they believe that he killed, actually, the LaBiancas by trying to get something from him, supposedly a black book. And that murder was very, very savage. So Manson might not have been this, just this cult leader, but actually a hitman. And so when Melcher realized who this guy really was, everybody was trying to, leave him in the dust. But that just didn't work. I guess once he knew who you were, where you lived, you were in big trouble. And at the same time, Doris Day Animal League, there was all kinds of murders and suicides that, very, very quiet. I mean, two of Doris Day's three husbands mysteriously committed suicide. It is really sordid, and they try very hard to keep that information down, because Doris Day was a very viable product for Hollywood. So they have to be careful about what gets out and really try and squelch it. But Doris Day Animal League. So then we'll come up to and remember that this process that was involved now supposedly. Melcher was brought into the process, and I guess that's when he realized he needed to get out, when he realized who they really were, but through Manson, because Manson was also a member of the process. So here's the connection between the two, best friends, and Doris Day Animal League, et cetera. This is one of the connections. And then, you know, once you have dirt on somebody, you can, and that's one way that the mob actually operates. You know, whatever, you wake up and you're in the wrong bed and they have pictures of it, then you're theirs. You do whatever they tell you to do. It's, you know, extortion, what have you. So definitely there was that connection right there to Doris Day Animal League. So then the process, just to tell you how dangerous they were, the night before Robert Kennedy was killed, Robert Kennedy was accompanied by Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski to a dinner party in Malibu. And the guys that owned the home was John Frankenheimer, and he was director of the movie The Manchurian Candidate. And then Frankenheimer drove Kennedy back to the Ambassador Hotel. Meanwhile, Saran, the assassin of JFK, or alleged assassin, he was put in prison for the assassination. He had visited a member of the process church that worked in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel the day before Kennedy was gunned down. So, believe me, and remember, Kennedy, both JFK and Robert Kennedy, said that they were going to take down organized crime. I don't know if you're all aware of that, but that was one of their key goals. They knew that organized crime was the wrong thing for this country. And you might say, oh, well, you know, they came from an organized crime family. Their dad had made his fortune running liquor during Prohibition. But, that, again, that's how they knew how dangerous they were, because they had seen it inside. And I really believe that they intended to do what they were saying, and they had to be stopped. And as we talked about, you know, Wayne Pacelle, he's related all the way up to the most famous, some of the most famous mob hit of all time was the St. Valentine's Massacre. That was, he was related to the guy that was a, I guess the, I don't know, the one that pulled it all to, you know, thought of it. It was a planned, you know, murder. And so he's related by blood to him. And again, it's blood in the mob. So then all of a sudden, fast forward to, I don't know if you have any questions about that, but forward.
Okay, before while we're time traveling through history from a completely different viewpoint, which is actually kind of fun because this viewpoint actually makes sense, the other stuff's all disconnected. And all of a sudden you start seeing these links. It's like, oh my gosh. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Diane. We're going to talk about more interesting things here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
They said all, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será.
Prepared to be scared. So I don't know if we're starting off everyone's week with them quaking in their boots, or if we're ending their week quaking
in
their boots.
No, see, this is good, because you know what? The more you make sense out of things, and the more you shine
Doris
the light on it,
Day.
Even if, I know, Doris Day. Somebody wrote in the chat room, maybe Diane can give this one a, I mean, I think the answer's kind of obvious, but I'm not sure. How does one put an end to the organized crime syndicate using puppies and kitties to fundraise from the unwitting elderly animal lovers?
Well, I think what we're doing is exposing the light. I think when you
rat them out.
Shine the light on the cockroaches, they got to run. But, you know, I give you an example. Before Wayne Pacelle took over the HSUS, they were making, their income was supposedly $2 million a year. You know, little ladies put in money, that kind of thing. That was the normal norm. But now they report over $100 million in income per year, and I wonder if that really is donations. Just think about that.
Oh, yeah, that's
how
a nice laundering scheme.
How do you make that massive jump? All of a sudden, so many little ladies are sending him money. I'm not so sure about that, really. But I did want to reiterate on that St. Valentine's Massacre, because we've got this connection with some of the most heinous crimes in American history. The man credited with planning and the orchestration of the St. Valentine's Massacre was William Pacelli, and he was the right-hand man of Al Capone. But look at this. This is still how they operate. William Pacelli was also elected 3 times as Chicago representative for the state of Illinois. And it's still going on. They're electing the mob in Illinois to the legislature, to Congress, as we speak.
I met a lady when the Tea Party first got started, like, you know, what, 3 years ago? I met a woman. She said, oh, yeah, I voted in the Kennedy election. Because we were talking about, you know, the Democratic Party had changed over the years. And I said, yeah, my mom's a Kennedy Democrat. She just doesn't realize her party left her behind. And she goes, yeah, I voted in the Kennedy election. I'm looking at this lady. I go, how old are you? She goes, oh, no, I voted in it when I was 5. My uncle was in the mob, and all of us kids, they gave each of us $5 and gave us a little piece of paper, said, go in and vote for this guy, this guy, this guy, and we're going to know if you do anything different. And I gave him $5, and their dad was like, holy crap, you know, go do what your uncle said. They packed up the family, and they moved.
Whoa.
So, there you go.
Obviously, they didn't ask for photo ID.
No photo ID.
I probably couldn't even see over the table. But,
yeah, the voter suppression was not working out there. So, anyway, yeah, the fact they were 5 years old didn't tip anybody off.
Yeah, and so there's this kind of, they saw, I believe, again, the mob, they see where they can get their tentacles in, and the animal welfare industry, I call it, it was one for sure that they decided that they were going to, you know, take a part in. And that's, I don't believe that they get their $100 million as true donations. The jump is too phenomenal.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. In fact, they are connected to a lot of, you know, internet gambling, pornography, people that they have and they use to develop websites and what have you. like there's one called the Exciting New Technologies. This guy is a felon, bank fraud felon. I mean, these people, they move them from one place. They just go, once they get caught, they move into another place. In fact, Dr. Irwin, who had originally been heading HSUS, he was moved to a position of CEO of American Bible Society.
Oh, that's nice.
And there, he allowed $5 million to go to this Exciting New Technologies within a 2-year span of time, $5 million for internet services. Okay, imagine that, okay? And then it was revealed that this Exciting New Technologies, ENT, had this big pornographic background and business. And so then Irwin had to be dismissed from the American Bible Society very quickly. But here he already funneled $5 million to ENT. I mean, really, what kind of internet service can you do for $5 million within 2 years?
Yeah.
What
no,
is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a heck of a service. I mean, what?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And is Sam on the line?
Yes.
Sam, you have any comments?
Well, when Irwin was dismissed from his position with the Bibles, he went to back to HSUS and now sits on the board of directors as an, quote, advisor. For one of their other nonprofits. Now, according to the feds that I've spoken to about the audit that started back in the late 80s and went through when David Wills was fired with, you know, Pacell there in 95, I had their board of director meetings. Even their board of directors were asking questions, why aren't we listing all the donations that come in? Why aren't any of the properties that have been donated or left to us? Why don't we have a list? They refused to give a list, and that was Irwin, Paul Irwin. And so here you've got this man back in playing with the HSUS in another corporation, of which they have over 150 corporations, for-profit or non-profit, worldwide. They have been kicked out of Holland and England because of their criminal activities within the banking systems there, which most people probably don't know.
How do they keep track of 100 and... Because it, don't they just come in with a different name?
No. They're all active and viable. They are in China. They are in Africa. They're everywhere. And no nonprofit should be allowed to do this.
Sure.
Now, what does the mob love more than anything when they're working across the country?
Killing people?
No.
No, there's something they love more.
Paying taxes on the money they get from killing
people. Oh, yeah, there you go.
They don't want to pay taxes. Well, back when they were being exposed by the Kennedys, they had to go underground and revamp their thinking. So they went white collar. Well, what can we do? Well, the obvious place was, if we had a nonprofit organization, we wouldn't have to pay taxes or declare a lot of stuff. So where is the obvious place they went? The largest nonprofits in the nation. And they weaseled their way into them. And of course, they were all ripe for it because they all wanted six-digit salaries that they could claim and pocket the rest, you know, when they took over the little old lady's properties or got cash donations. I would guess the drop boxes they have from New York to Arizona, which I physically traveled to and saw where they were, get mostly cash in envelopes from little old ladies, $10, $20, $100. They send it in cash. They have somebody that makes pickups at those, quote, drop boxes to send the donations to. Where is that on their 990s? It's not. And IRS, you were given 5,000 documents in March of 2010. Why the hell haven't you done something with them? That's the life work of several people that have been documenting HSUS and the mob.
And so you guys...
And that includes board ex-board members of the HSUS who blew the whistle on them and
yeah.
still...
And that
Nothing.
Person is very old and terrified of getting killed. I've got some of these documents I've been holding on for years because I don't want to get them killed. But we did give them to the IRS. And I gave them to them over a period of many, many, many years. And nothing is being done in Washington, D.C. And I'm angry. I'm angry. I spent my life putting these documents together. Another thing going backwards to Dede Loren, who was paroled to the HSUS, I tracked him down, and I called him one morning, and he was very talkative, and he was a very nice man, criminal or not, and he said that he was there for several years, and his wife is still involved, his ex-wife is still involved with Pacell on different boards of directors on different named nonprofits. And I said, well, why did you leave them? And he said, I couldn't work for an organization any longer that did not like animals. I happen to love animals, no matter what my background is. They just want them dead.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, if you have to feed and clean up poop after an animal, if you don't do it yourself, you have to pay somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Hey,
so,
tell us this before we need to take a quick break, but tell us this. How do you spell the man's name that you rattled
on? Capital D, small e, capital D-A-Y. Last name, L, capital L, small a, capital R-E-N-E. And ask me about Morris Schenker when you come back.
Morris Schenker, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
we'll be right back. Ooh, Morris Schenker's a hot one. We'll be right back with the truth about Morris Schenker here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
In the heat of a summer night, in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his
his own. And he called his gang to war with the forces of the law. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Politicians have words to say for their positions. Words that scream for your submission. No one's jamming their transmission. When their eloquence escapes you,
We the People Radio with Aaron, Elizabeth, and Bob. Jump on wethepeopleradio.us to follow along. You know, and as much as we would love to help you keep your head in the clouds, our purpose here is to destroy your illusions and get you in Realville.
You know, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there. I mean, I think people's lives are enriched by doing things that are interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, nope. No puppies and butterflies and rainbows today. I mean, not really.
Well, we got puppies. Kind of. We were puppies, but we're keeping them away from HSUS because it's a bad.
That's right.
That's a bad place for puppies.
Well, let me just give you a little background on the Schenker deal.
Yeah,
real
go
quick.
To this Mona Schenker thing.
Real quick. First of all, this goes back again to 2007 when they were the state of California. Lloyd Levine was trying to do mandatory spay neuter to all our cats and dogs here in California, and that's when I got involved. And I brought Lassie to the Capitol, the real Lassie, Bob Weatherwax, Timmy. I brought all the people I know there. And Lassie was right there, and we were in the Senate Appropriations Committee meeting, and everybody was getting up, all these organizations saying, oh, how they have to save animals by cutting the, you know, huevos off our dogs and cats. And Lassie was there going, not my huevos. But all of a sudden, one of the people that was in the group with us, they whispered to me, oh, my God. There's the mafia princess. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, do you see over there? That's a mafia princess. I'm like, who? And it was Patty Schenker. She was testifying how we needed to have mandatory spay neuter of cats and dogs in California. Now you have to wonder, gee, why is the mafia princess involved? Does she really care about animals that much? So, Sam, tell us what you found out about Patty Schenker.
Well, let's go back to 1970 something and Life magazine. There was an expose done that won the Pulitzer Prize, two journalists won the Pulitzer Prize, putting it together on Morris Schenker, Patty's daddy. And he was a mob lawyer, like she said before, for the St. Louis mob, the Detroit mob, and the Las Vegas mob. And he defended Hoffa till the day he died, and the family, I should say. Because Hoffa died a long time ago, but Morris Schenker, Patty's father, in 1986 through 89 was being investigated by the Internal Revenue Service for not paying taxes on over $90 million. And unfortunately, in August of 89, Morris died. And that $90 million was never tracked down. Well, Morris Schenker had a prodigy. His name, he was an attorney, and Morris, of course, was an attorney, was William Crockett, who is in Woodland Hills to this day, California, and he is Patty Schenker's attorney. And he promised on Morris's deathbed that he would always take care of the Mafia Princess, which he has done. They have a multitude of corporations and properties all over the United States. And Morris, by the way, owned the Dunes Hotel and several others. And Morris Jr. is still in Vegas and is still playing games, not as well as his father. His father was a genius. He was an incredible human being. And I have to say that I've investigated and studied his work over the last 20 years. He was also involved in the collapse of the savings and loans in the 1980s with Sun Something Trust and Savings and Loan in Texas. That's where it started with he and the one who did go to jail. Morris always avoided jail. He was very good at doing that. He also was a friend of Dede Lorenz, kind of. They were in opposition, but they were also friends. They all were. So anyway, we have this story in the 70s exposing Morris Schenker and his tie to the three families, and we have the IRS coming after him in the 80s. Morris's wife, Lillian, basically pled out and got off the charges. She was also an attorney, and she passed away prior to Morris's death. Well, here's little Patty left during the 90s, not knowing where her dad's money was. Yeah, right. And
good answer.
An attorney who was taking care of her, which he has done very well, and himself also, I'm sure. And he's still working at it. Morris Schenker owned the Warner Center properties in the western part of the San Fernando Valley, basically most of the valley at that end. And all those properties were in someone else's name. Well, I have watched those properties, and a few years ago, the SEC filed that Patty Schenker was, quote, buying them back. Well, I don't know whose name they were in for all those years, but I have a feeling it was phony. I think they've always owned the properties. I think the IRS did not dig far enough. I think the IRS stopped when Morris died, and they should have continued the case on and gone after the attorney. And I'd like to know just, you know, who's getting paid off at the IRS that they can't follow through on this case. They have all the documents. They have all the proof. What's the hang-up? Come on, IRS. Let's get with this. Let's clean up this mess, and let's get money back into the economy of California and the other states that they have pilfered.
They probably went to the same detective school as Eric Holder.
Well, exactly. And again, this Patty Schenker held a fundraising event in Los Angeles, a dinner at a private property. And who was the beneficiary? Pedro Nava, that ex-Santa Barbara, now ex-Santa Barbara assembly member, who's done lots of anti-animal laws in the our legislature here. He sits on that Blue Ribbon Commission for the Fish and Game. They call it Fish and Strategic Vision, Fish and Wildlife instead of Fish and Game now. And he sits there, and he had also tried running just this past election for Attorney General. So you see, they're trying to get their people in. It's you know, same old story. But we'll jump again to and this guy is after your hound dogs and your bears. I mean, they're all part of not wanting hunters, not wanting you to have dogs, breed dogs. In fact, you know, he said, having a pet is a privilege. No, I don't think so. But it's a right of ours. We have been able to have them since, I guess, the beginning of mankind. I don't know if the cavemen were saying that when they had those dogs, that was a privilege. But when I do want to bring us forward to Doris Day Animal League, was 2003, they filed with the USDA a petition to try and change the regulations of the USDA and have them, inspect people's homes that were breeding dogs, every single one of them. And they fought all the way up to through the courts trying to get that to happen.
All right, we're going to have to come back after the top of the hour. Got 5 minutes of news for you here at We the People. We'll be right back with Diane Amble and Sam, if she'll stick with us.
Yep.
That's the kind of life for me. There's one thing I want to be, and that's a hound dog man. Hound dog man. I want to be a hound dog man. Hound dog man. Hound dog man. I want to be a hound dog man.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of We the People after the news here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's hour two of We the People Radio. Give us a call at 530-605-4567 or jump on wethepeopleradio.us to our website where we've got everything about today's show. It's good to
And you should
along.
Jump on the chat room there. Yeah. Click the listen button and join the chat room because our phone lines are often busy.
Yeah.
We've got guests on the phone lines.
Yeah, and you're joining Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin.
Good morning again, ladies.
Bob, lovely job on the music, just in case we run out of time at the end.
Appreciate that.
Yep, two weeks of puppies, kitties, and...
Well, three, actually, if you count, go back to the houndsman.
Oh, that's right, we had the houndsman on.
Yeah.
3 weeks of dogs and 2 weeks of dogs and cats, so it...
I know, you added cats.
It becomes increasingly challenging to find new material.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, because they start off when they're plotting their takeover and control of the populace, they start off with animal rights laws.
Yeah, Diane taught us that one last week.
So they go after your dogs just like they go after your guns, because one of the defenses of human beings, and it has been since day one, is having dogs. And the Nazis did it too. They went and took everybody's big dogs. And there are many, if you study the history of man and dogs, many times that this has happened in history, the first thing they go and take farmers' dogs, everybody's dogs, so they cannot defend themselves.
So let's just point out they didn't take their cats.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't take their cats. It's not really the issue, it's the dogs. But let me just give you some background, and then we're going to turn the show over to someone that's really been fighting HSUS for years and is just a leader, and my hat goes off to her. Karen Strange, but during we'll get to her, and I'll be signing off so she can come on. But the Animal Welfare Act was put in place to protect animals, particularly what they had found where people were stealing people's dogs to turn them into for sale into laboratories and what have you. And then they decided, well, dogs, if they're going to be used for studies, you know, medical research and stuff, they should just be bred purposely for that and made it to protect. So the Animal Welfare Act came into place, and it to be where you would raise whatever animals for medical research and what have you should be raised humanely and properly and certainly not steal them from people. Then the Doris Day Animal League in 2003 filed with the USDA saying, oh, well, we need to change the Animal Welfare Act so that it would include inspecting people in their homes. And that was fought. The case was Doris Day Animal League versus Veneman, and Veneman was the secretary for the Department of Agriculture. And the Department of Agriculture fought back tooth and claw, along with AKC and lots of other groups, saying hunters and people that raised working dogs and what have you, and said it's egregious eventually, after many years of fighting in the courts. The final judge ruled and said that it was a violation of your privacy to have anyone come and inspect how you raise your dogs in your house or your cats or your gerbils or whatever, because they wanted the whole shebang, rabbits, you name it, and birds, and so then they lost, and the judge even ruled that, hey, the USDA says they don't have enough people even to do this, even if they thought it was a valid, claim. So they shot down the Doris Day Animal League's lawsuit, which was very expensive and for many years. And then that was in 2003. It went through for many years. And then 2006, Doris Day Animal League merged with HSUS, and their employees of those two organizations changed spots. And one of the main people that was involved in that was Jennifer Fearing. And she's the one that's led the charge on this thing with Ted Lieu, Senator Ted Lieu, where they do not want us to hunt with our dogs anymore. So again, these people were all, at that time she was with a group called United Animal Nations, which then changed to, the other organization, Animal Protection Institute and Born Free USA. They keep reinventing themselves as they get caught doing things that aren't quite right. So Then all of a sudden, everything's going along. They're trying to put these things state to state, like here, the mandatory spay neuter, et cetera, that you can't breed any animals at all, you know, in the state. Really, that's what it was coming down to, and we were able to shoot that down. But all of a sudden, then they had this thing across the nation called Pups, Paws, then Pups, and one of the main people involved in the Pups bill, where you can't breed dogs and cats and what have you, is Dick Durbin, Senator Dick Durbin from Chicago, who is an Obama buddy, and Senator Vitter, who also helped get the USDA, along with Sarah Conant, who was just recently placed in the USDA enforcement arm, APHIS. She's an attorney for HSUS, who then got hired miraculously in APHIS. Again, that's the inspection arm of the USDA. And so they had all their players in place, and now they want to inspect all of us in our house, no matter what you breed, if it's a dog, a cat, a gerbil, a snake, a bird. And so I'd like to sign off and give it over to Karen Strange.
Thank you so much. Thanks a ton, Diane. Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye.
I have two things I'd like to say, and I'll sign off.
Uh-oh. There we go. Something funky happened there. Try, say that again, Karen, if you would.
No, this is Sam.
Oh, Sam.
I'm going to have to bring Sam down for just a moment. Or we were about to get a dial tone from Karen hanging up. Okay, Sam, go ahead.
Okay, two things, and then I'm off. One, we're back to the Mafia Princess, who is in Los Angeles, who claims to love animals, care for animals, and doesn't want anything to happen to animals. She started a nonprofit where their nonprofit could wear guns and go out and be police officers, impersonation of peace officers, which all these nonprofits are doing now, and steal your animals, break in your home, and take anything else they want because you are cruel to your animals. Well, the city attorney, Don Kochak, the one good thing he's done in his life, had their charter pulled and thrown out of the city. So they come back through Farm Sanctuary and do it, the same nonprofit again, doing the same things. The county allowed it. The county has worked with the Mafia Princess doing raids on a particular horse rescue. And the last raid they did was out in the Antelope Valley in California. And they took all their horses. Well, who ended up with the horses? Patty Shanker. Well, Patty Shanker, this woman who professes that you have to hire a vet, you have to have vet inspections of your animals, you have to spay and neuter your animals. After she had the horses for 4 or 5 months on a property, we had some photographers go out and take pictures of them, and they're racks of bones. We couldn't find water for them, and there were, like, you know, 90 horses out there.
Holy cow.
And there were blue tarps all over the place. So the photographer picked up the tarp and started taking pictures. And you know the old adage, if you wake up with a black horse's head in your bed, you're dead.
Mm. Well, I think I saw that in a movie one time.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I have a picture of a black horse who was under one of those blue tarps, and it had 5 bullet wounds, starting at the withers, which is the shoulders, if people don't know, and working up the neck to kill it until it finally got up around the head. Everyone knows exactly where you need to shoot an animal, a horse, to kill it, but it wasn't done that way, and it wasn't done by a vet. And I just want to expose the Mafia Princess, Patty Shanker, for killing this horse, and I'd be glad to send you the picture for your website.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, I'll make sure it gets to you.
We love to post sensitive information that could potentially get us in terrible trouble. That's how we keep meeting people like you.
You know, this was reported to Marsha Mayotta, who had formerly been with a nonprofit in Central California, and has tried to run L.A. County Animal Control the same way she ran the nonprofit, criminally. And it's being overlooked. She's now getting a 6-digit salary to do nothing except terrorize pet owners and target senior citizens in the county of Los Angeles. And this is what HSUS does, too. They target senior citizens that have their property paid off. And usually there's only one senior in the home. And they go in and raid them, take their animals. Like the school teacher
you know,
yeah.
that they killed her cats, so she committed suicide. Well, of course, caretaking those cats, they lie and say that they're feeding them for years when they've actually killed them, and they get money from the mandate fund, and that isn't enough, so they go back to court, and the judge gives them a criminal judgment against the property. They take the property, and they own the property. Well, where do those properties go? We can't find them. They fall off the tax rolls.
It's magic. Wow. There's a lot of magic in this thing. They should,
another thing
we should
Patty
call
Sanford
this
involved
some kind of Blackstone.
is CSI Crime Scene Investigation on television, one of the top-rated shows.
Yeah.
Who knows better how to commit a crime and get away with it than the mob?
Mm-hmm. She's a consultant.
I'm done.
She's
okay.
She's a consultant for that show.
They've got money in it, and her friends are producers. There's another Shankar spelled with an AR instead of ER, and her husband's one of the producers.
Oh, that is bizarre.
And they're all involved
all
in the animal thing going
just
after
blow
the elephants
mind.
At the LA Zoo. I mean, it's just, it's a nightmare down here.
Hey, and before you leave us, I had a question on the chat room from somebody. What was the name of the horse rescue?
Equus.
Equus. E-Q-U-I-S?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and is that, they also asked here, is that public knowledge?
Yes, it is.
Well, there you go.
Go to the court. In fact, they had to go bankrupt, and Patty Shanker, and I just don't know how she did it, ended up with everything out of the bankruptcy. Why was she the beneficiary of the bankruptcy? And we've got a copy of a document that she had to pay the bankruptcy court. Who is the one? I can't remember what they call them that determines where everything goes in the bankruptcy. $10,000. Well, it ended up $25,000. And that's a matter of court record, and I have the document. Want it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's coming.
Okay, that's fun. We love getting in trouble. And Bob searched the Equus. Is it E-Q-U-U-S?
That is correct. E-Q-U-U-S.
Like umbrella, umbrella.
Okay, but now that's still Patty Shanker's front woman running it, and it's moved to Northern California. What Patty did with the Equus down here was get on the board of directors by saying, oh, I'll give you a 99-year lease on a piece of property, and you can run your nonprofit horses there. Well, the next thing they knew, the paper they'd signed was 1 year. She evicted them, and then called animal control, and it was a nightmare. I mean, it's just been a nightmare for the original person that started that nonprofit, you know. And Patty just has so many law enforcement friends that will do her bidding. All she has to do is pick up the phone. And, you know, you're dead or you're bankrupt or you're in jail or whatever.
Or there's a horse head in your bed.
Or you have a horse head in your bed. And I have published that a couple times, that horse head. So I will be happy to publish it again.
Sam, as always, it's been incredibly illuminating.
Well, you want more? I've got over 5,000 documents I'll give you a copy of.
Holy crap, Batman.
The IRS sure isn't doing anything with them.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to come at them from another angle.
Well, they got out the phone. I was praying. The law enforcement won't take down the HSUS. It will have to be the IRS. That's the only way they're going to get them.
That's what always gets the mob.
Just send the documents to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
all right.
I don't know if I'm ready for WikiLeaks yet.
You're working your way up to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a million zillion. Sam, be careful.
Yep.
For heaven's sakes. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming back with Karen Strange. We're going to learn some more stuff. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
When I look back. Country, fishing in a stream, looking for an answer, trying to find a sign, until I saw your city lights, honey, I was blind. They said, get back, honky cat, better get back to the woods. Well, I quit in those days and my redneck ways.
This is KCNR, the home of free fire media.
The fear and darkness all around you.
criminals are on the run. So you see hiding in the park. I'll hunt you down cause I'm a dog. I'm the dog, the big bad dog. I'm the dog, the bounty hunter.
And who was that, Bob?
Actually, I never knew it, but that was done by Ozzy Osbourne. That's the theme from Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh.
Am I the only one here who watches it?
Apparently. Because we're like, what the heck is this?
We do not know.
We need to get out more.
Bob is in another realm.
Yeah, operating in another zone.
Hey, so before we jump back on, we wanted to just remind folks that we're going to put a disclaimer out there that when we're talking about HSUS, which is the Humane Society of the United States, we are not talking about your local Humane Society or the Haven Humane
Unless
Society.
Unless you live in Los Angeles County.
Yes. So don't panic and run down to your local Humane Society in the morning and chew them out, because we're not talking about them. So pay attention and listen close.
We give Haven Humane Society a lot of love here at KCNR.
Except for all that adopting out millions of cats or whatever.
Yeah, get over it. So go to wethepeopleradio.us and follow along or jump on the chat room.
Aaron has issues with cats.
I can't breathe when they're in town. Okay, so Karen, now we're shifting gears again. Karen Strange is with us, and her bio and stuff is on the website at wethepeopleradio.us. She's the president and lobbyist of the Missouri Federation of Animal Owners Incorporated. And so before I don't want to just read this whole thing, Karen, why don't you tell us the fun parts?
The fun part of defeating HSUS in our state legislature.
I like that.
I have been a lobbyist for 22 years fighting the animal rights movement. I am based out of Missouri, and that is where our organization is based out of. We do, however, advise and help others in other states, so we're not just germane to the state of Missouri. Our organization represents clients such as the Sporting Dog Association of Missouri, the Missouri Trappers Association, various veterinarians, hobby show breeders, the pet industry, just anyone who is an animal owner and who responsibly raises their animals, takes good care of them. We represent their right to do so. And Missouri has been under attack by HSUS several times over the years, and we have successfully, in one way or another, defeated them, and we're trying to work with others to do the same in their state.
That's fantastic. So we have people listening from all over the place. So if somebody, if this was all news to them, and they wanted to do something about it in their state, and say they weren't super politically correct or connected, probably not politically correct either.
We're not politically correct either.
A little Freudian slip there. Freud was a smart boy on some of that. So how would they start? Like, where's the beginning?
One of the things we advise is working with groups and individuals such as Diane in California does a great job. There are a number of leaders across the nation. And one thing they can do is go on our website, www.mofed.org, and we will be glad to visit with them, talk with them, and do what we can to help them get started in their state. We feel it is imperative that all animal owners across the nation join together and work together, united. We cause a large front in opposition, and that's how we've been successful in Missouri, and it can be done. So we're here to help and advise, and we'll gladly talk to people across the nation and also refer them to their closest organization, if there is one, in order to get activated and get started. If we don't stand up and protect our rights now, they're going to sadly be taken away a little at a time, which they currently are. So it's imperative that we join together and educate the public about where their donations are going and what the true agenda of these groups are. So we'll be glad to help and advise.
Well, it kind of occurs to me, since you're dealing with this on kind of a national level, it occurs to me that probably the biggest problem you have is that people are totally unaware that this is a problem.
That's true. Our number one greatest enemy is not necessarily HSUS and other animal rights organizations, but it's the complacency of those who own and enjoy animals, and it's our lack of getting that education out to the general public. HumaneWatch.org is doing a great job of doing that. A number of organizations are rising up to that task. But surprisingly, I was visiting with the gentleman from Humane Watch this week, and he stated that over 80% of the people who donate to HSUS do not even realize that less than 1% of their donations is going to help animals. The rest is going for fundraising, pension funds, enacting legislation, lobbying, which they're doing as a 501c3, which if the rest of us did that, we would be in jail. So our biggest thing we need to do is educate, and that's why we appreciate programs such as yours and the work that Diane and Sam and others are doing. No one is exempt from what is happening out there, the hunters with dogs all the way to the farmers, ranchers, everyone involved, and there are many more of us than them. We just need to get that education.
And, you know,
there.
I think that makes a point that, as we always encourage people to do in anything, is make it as local as you can. So if you feel a need to contribute monetarily to any kind of an organization that rescues or cares for animals, make it local.
Yeah, and check them out first. Big time.
Absolutely. And just because they're local doesn't necessarily mean they're not animal rights leaning or they're not associated with some of the animal rights groups. But do check them out, because many are not. And those are the ones who do need help with stray animals or animals that don't have homes or that for one reason or another they have in their facilities. And that's a totally different matter than the animal rights groups, who have as their agenda to eliminate our ownership and enjoyment of animals. So do check them out thoroughly before donating. But if you find they're clear of animal rights associations and activities, then by all means, help locally.
Say, you just go in, you go into the shelter and you say, PETA. And if they don't flinch, don't give them money.
There you go.
We'll give them the straight face test.
Internet we have now, it is quite easy to see affiliations with organizations. Not all are on the Internet or Internet savvy, but if one does a little research himself over the Internet and finds out how the different groups are interconnected, then it's pretty easy to find out if those trace to the local level. And we've done that numerous times in Missouri, and we pretty well know to the core who is sympathetic to their cause and who is not. So a little research and time and effort and asking questions is the way to find out exactly the answer before donating.
Cool. Well, now we have friends in high places, so we're calling you. Hey, we have Dennis on the line who has a question for you.
Hello.
Hi. You're on, Dennis.
Oh, not much. I've been getting recently solicitations from an outfit called the North Shore Animal League of America. And it's you win a $25,000 sweepstakes. You can send $5, but you don't have to, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just wondering, I noticed the address on the return envelope is Central Islip, New Jersey.
Is there a horse head for a logo?
Yeah, no, an eagle. But New Jersey,
checking.
We get a lot of old gangsters come out of New Jersey, I know.
Yeah, no kidding. Karen, is that familiar to you?
Yes, they are. And in my opinion, many of their activities do lean toward the animal rights direction. I always find it interesting with these organizations who claim to help animals and want to take in money to help animals. Isn't it amazing the amount of money that is spent on everything except animals? That would be one of the clues I would look for. You'll notice that in your smaller local facilities, they're constantly having little small bake sales and garage sales and little local activities to raise money. But the larger the organization, the more they tend to be sensationalistic in their ideas of how they raise money. The $25,000 situation would be something that would certainly pique my curiosity. I know a lot of the people in the northern and northeastern part of the country have had more dealings with that group than we have, but they would be on my radar as not participating.
That's good to know.
Cool. How's that, Dennis? You can keep your money.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and they're going to give me $25,000 if I get drawn in their sweepstakes here. So
nice.
There you go. There you go. That $25,000 would be very beneficial to a lot of these little local facilities that could use my help.
Oh, don't you know?
That money doesn't seem to go there, does it?
No. Wouldn't it be great, though, if you won and gave it to somebody else, we could beat the mob at their own game?
Yeah.
Maybe you need a horse head logo,
Dennis. But what do you want to bet nobody actually wins that
$25,000? What?
You think? It's kind of like that Obama fundraiser at Sarah Jessica Parker's house. If you send us, you know, X number of dollars, we're going to put your name in the pool to come join us for dinner. What do you want to bet nobody real went there?
I like the $3. I like the $3 donation. You can have dinner with Barack. Okay, there's our attack watch moment. We need to take a really quick break. Dennis, thank you for calling. Karen, hang tight. We'll be back.
Dennis, you might want to go to charitynavigator.org for more information on the North Shore Animal League.
Charitynavigator.org?
Charitynavigator.org, yes.
Very good. Thank you.
We got Rain Man over here running the board doing research for us. All right, play us a song, Bob. We're coming back in 2 minutes with you here at We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
The home of Free Fire Media.
Black and orange stray cat sitting on a bed. By with my tail in the air. Stray cat strut, I'm a
cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova.
Hey, man, that's sad.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Wondering why we're taking a slight detour from our kitty and doggy music. We're going to talk a minute about Rio de Janeiro and the recent United Nations agenda for the 21st century, their sustainable living.
Oh, yes. Rio plus 20.
Yeah.
Because in 1992, they released Agenda 21 with, of course, our, Maurice Strong, the guy on the board of the Humane Society who wrote Agenda 21, blah, blah, blah. So let's make all the connection there for folks. I had a friend who went to Rio Plus 20. She went on a press pass through a nonprofit and just went to kind of spy around. She was shocked to find that there were not as many environmental wackos as she thought. She expected it to be just like this environmental wacko fest. She said, actually, it was a power brokers convention. All they talked about was the power and control that they would have and how great this would be. And I'm sure everyone who lives in California will be excited to know that they are thrilled that we passed the bond issue for the high-speed rail, because that makes California the number one leader in sustainable development in the world. We are now the trendsetters. Isn't that super?
Broke as broke can be, and on the verge of social disaster and financial disaster, but we do.
But
lead.
The rest of the guys want it. Mm-hmm. They want it bad. They had a convention so they mm-hmm. could celebrate it. So anyway, I will have her on in the future. But just thought I'd let you folks know that people can go to those things and come back
alive.
Yeah, you can't meet anybody from the Humane Society and come back, but you can. You can go to the Agenda 21 conference and return. So, anyway, sorry about that. Back to the Humane Society of the United States with Karen Strange from MOFED, and it's M-O, like Missouri, MOFED.org. All right, Karen, what else do we need to know?
The thing that we have going on right now that a number of your listeners may be interested in is the new proposal by APHIS with USDA concerning the licensing of pet owners and breeders. They are working to redefine retail pet stores, and since 1971, when the USDA amended the Animal Welfare Act by adding the definition of retail pet store, the breeders across the nation who are not wholesaling have not been included in the licensing and regulations under the Animal Welfare Act. This new proposal being pushed by HSUS and other animal rights groups is working to close what they call the loophole of internet sales. Many of the breeders who at one time were either USDA licensed or the Animal Welfare Act states that they should be licensed, have instead gone to selling over the internet, and the general public is buying a lot of their pets over the internet, and so HSUS, of course, wants to get their hands and feet in the middle of that. And so there is now a proposal that is open for public comment through August 15th. It has just been extended, and it states that anyone who breeds and sells dogs, cats, rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils, rats, mice, gophers, chinchilla, domestic ferrets, domestic farm animals, birds, and cold-blooded species would now be included in this. They do have a few exemptions if you make no more than $500 gross income, and if you have no more than four intact breeding females, then you would be exempt. However, anyone having more than four intact females, and those can be different species of those animals listed, would then be required to be USDA licensed and inspected. And as a representative of the pet industry for more than two decades, I know exactly what's involved in being inspected and licensed by the USDA. So keep in mind that if you do not allow someone to come to your home, your facility, your place of business where you're breeding and selling your animals, if you do not allow the purchaser to come to that premise and inspect that animal either prior to purchase or directly after, you would be required to be licensed and inspected by USDA. And just some of the things that would be involved in that, in the inspection and licensing, you would be required to include or to have the following in your operation. Your facility would include enough space and structure for the facility. You would have to have waste disposal, heating, ventilation, lighting, and interior surface requirements for indoor and outdoor primary enclosures. What that means, that's often talked about, is any surface that the animal stands on would need to be impervious to moisture, meaning that moisture would have to beat up on it and be dried quickly.
I think this whole thing is like impervious to common sense. Unbelievable.
Right. They also include the space requirements per animal. They would also include animal health and husbandry requirements for veterinary care, sanitation, feeding, watering, separation of animals. Some animals are not compatible together.
There would need to be quarantine areas. This would also include the transportation of these animals. And what is alarming about this, many of the commercial facilities that are set up have kennels, and they do have to adhere to these regulations and inspections. However, many who are hobby breeders would not have those facilities, and their animals are housed within their homes. And that's where the discrepancy lies. USDA has made several public comments trying to explain these regulations, and what they're running into is to say, well, we don't intend to go after the person who has a litter of puppies in their bedroom or within their home, and they're trying to appease some of these major concerns that people are having. But as a lobbyist and dealing with legislation and rulemaking processes for a number of years, it is vital to consider exactly what is written in these proposed rules and what will ultimately become part of the Animal Welfare Act. It doesn't matter what anyone's opinion is of the reading, it is how it will be interpreted by the Department of Agriculture, APHIS, and the ones doing the inspecting. And although there may be some within the USDA at this time who say, well, we don't mean that, as a lobbyist, I've testified many times in hearings on proposed legislative pieces. I don't care what the opinion is. This is what it reads and how it will be interpreted in a court of law. And in my opinion, and in the years I've worked on this, I can foresee a time that whatever is written and not fully enforced will be challenged in court by HSUS and other animal rights groups, such as Doris Day Animal League, who has previously done this, to sue to have this enforced to the fullest. So those who are being somewhat appeased by saying, well, the USDA is saying they're not going to include us if I have my dogs in my home, and I say, oh, if I have five intact female dogs or three intact female dogs and one or two intact female cats, then I can raise them in my home and I'd be okay. That may not be what these rules clearly and concisely say after the process is over and it is written into the Animal Welfare Act. So at this point, we don't know exactly what will be included, and we don't know what will be excluded. So this is very alarming. Some of our concerns with this that we have is that requiring the purchaser to come to the premise where the animals are opens this up to animal rights activists coming either onto your property, into your home to see your animals, to see the ones that they're wanting to purchase. Some of the animal rights people are pushing for saying, we don't want to only see the animal we're buying. We want to see all of the animals and where they're raised, how they're raised. And we believe this opens the home and your private property up to inspections by overzealous animal rights activists and people who do not like us owning and enjoying animals. This is an invasion of our Fourth Amendment rights to our private property. This will be based on complaints, so it will be enforced by complaint-driven accusations by people who are saying you're not taking proper care of your animals, or if someone calls you, the listener, and says they want to buy one of your cats or one of your dogs or one of your pets, and whether you say they can come to your premise and view them or not, they can call USDA and say, hey, I called Diane or Sam or whomever, and they wouldn't let me come to their premise, and I wanted to buy a pet from them. They turn you in, and guess who shows up at your door? So this is a total invasion of privacy. It's an overextension of government regulation, and it is being pushed by the animal rights people and supported. And so now we're in an all-out battle nationwide, the animal owners against the animal rights activists who want to come into our premises, the owners who do not want anyone coming in. And we feel that this is just a total invasion of our rights, and something that is definitely not needed.
Unbelievable. So can add the USDA to the list of difficult places or difficult agencies for our freedom and our rights.
We've got to take a really quick break, though,
Karen, because we're kind of behind here and we're in our last 10 minutes. Really fast break. We are here at We the People Radio. We're talking to Karen Strange. We're dealing with things about the Humane Society of the United States. We hope you'll catch the archives if you've missed part of the show. We're at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Me and my cat named Dog.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Pussycat. Okay, we got eight quick minutes before the...
Can we just laugh for a second about the Tom Jones song, though?
I can see him in his tight pants. That's what I remember from TV.
Bad visual.
I know. And his open shirt.
Bob,
okay.
You have been pussycat
that
today.
That took us down to 7.5 quick minutes before we go to the top of the hour and the next show and major news. We're going to jump to Joanne, who is on the line. Joanne, good morning.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been researching this APHIS thing, and it's rather quite scary. I think a big crux of the issue is that basically the federal government is trying to protect us from being able to make our own decisions as to where we purchase animals from and being able to check out a breeder for ourselves. You know, in this book, Where the Red Fern Grows, published way back in 1961, I think, the little boy ordered his coonhounds shipped from a breeder sight unseen, and they turned out fabulously. But what APHIS is trying to stop people from doing is being able to research and order a hunting dog or whatever other animal from someone that they didn't personally visit, because they think that we can't be capable of making good decisions for ourselves.
Well, that seems to be kind of a common thread these days. It all boils down to, we're not qualified to run our own lives and make decisions.
Exactly.
Karen, you have any thoughts on that? We'll just all share the line. How's that?
Yes, I agree with her completely. This does take away the individual right of a person to correspond with the breeder, and if they feel comfortable with purchasing that animal, then having that animal shipped to them or making some arrangement to receive it without visiting the facility. And we feel that, let's say, sales and correspondence is going on, let's say, from California all the way to New York. It's going to be impossible for the person from California to drive all the way to New York to visit that facility. But if they feel comfortable in purchasing that animal, they should be allowed to do so, and this government intervention would prevent that.
Well, people do that all the time. I ran into a friend at the airport a couple of years ago, but she was waiting for their dog to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, this is not for the safety and well-being of the animals.
No,
this is another way for the animal rights people to take away our rights to own and purchase animals of our choice. And this is a good way for them to virtually eliminate our freedom of choice of what animal we want and from what individual.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the public don't realize that rather than being a quote-unquote anti-puppy mill rule, what this does is require animals to be raised in laboratory commercial facilities, laboratory mm-hmm. style.
Yes, and another thing we have on this that we've been involved with in Missouri recently in a ballot initiative fight, there's no definition on here for domestic farm animal either. What is that? That is not defined in the Animal Welfare Act. So are we talking about kids with 4-H projects that have animals? What are we talking about on domestic farm animal? And the same thing holds true for a lot of the other animals involved here. And the thing I want to close with that is certainly hair-raising is that once a person is USDA licensed, if they have any violation in that facility and they have a repeat violation of that, even several years down the road, let's say they have a broken wire in one area and then several years later they're written up for that same thing, they're subject to a $10,000 fine. And the most hair-raising thing that we have had recently is one of our members of MOFED had a family member killed in a car accident on Friday evening. Monday, as they were leaving their home to go to the funeral services, the USDA inspector showed up to do an inspection, and they said, "We're sorry, we're going to the funeral." And the inspector said, "That doesn't matter, I'm here to do my inspection." And when that was refused by the owner, they were subject then to a $10,000 fine. And we were able, Frank Losey was able to turn that around. But those are the things that happen regularly. This is not a government intervention that we want into the private lives of our U.S. citizens. And this is exactly what this proposal is.
Wow. And we have one of our folks on the chat room has said, make sure to tell people how to comment to APHIS, APHIS, for those people listening, before the show ends. So do you guys have information on that?
Yes, I don't APHIS have that website directly.
Oh, go ahead, Karen.
They can go on the department, the U.S. Department of Agriculture website, and this is docket number APHIS 2011-0003, and they can find the comments there, or not find the comments, they can actually make comments and be in opposition of this.
Nice. We'll have to re-listen to that, unless you could send me that on email, which would be so snazzy.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. It's right there on the site. And then we'll add that to the website for folks to catch up on mm-hmm. later when the archive gets posted. So, ladies, we've got to like 2 minutes or a little bit, no, a minute and a half. So Bob's like, what?
Maybe in your world you've
all
got
right,
2 minutes.
We got like a minute left. So, what would you tell people at this point?
On a local level, what should they do?
On the local level, I think it's very important to start telling your friends, your neighbors, your family, take every opportunity to educate everyone about what's going on, not only about this APHIS proposal, but about animal rights in general. Go on the Internet, read, study, learn, and then talk.
Okay.
And make comments to APHIS, because they do listen to public comments, and this is a rule that is currently open for public comment. They want public input. It's open until August 15th. And I think we'll be posting a link to where you can go to comment.
And don't forget to go to wethepeopleradio.us and check out the archived show from today, but also that will include all the information that we've given you today. You can follow up and study up.
Yep, and any of the information that our guests send, we will post, so I would keep checking.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you, ladies, very much. Karen, Joanne.
Thank you.
All right, down with HSUS. They stink. You've been listening to We the People Radio, another snarky interview. Hey, Bob's going to wrap it up for us. Go, Bob.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks to all of our guests this morning. And stay tuned now for some lighter fare. It's Don and Judy coming your way next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.